Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
This morning, I want to talk to you about something that can be a little misunderstood. It's something we sometimes take a scripture and kind of explain it away so that we're not accountable. Have you ever done something like that? Take a scripture verse, work it over, try to get it to where it's comfortable for your own idea and flesh and way of life, and we don't necessarily embrace what it's really saying to us, okay? And I want you to know that God's motive, His Word, His motive, listen to this, His motive is that you and Him would have a good relationship because He loves you. And this Word can make us uncomfortable sometimes, because we have our own ideas. And we maybe grew up and we picked up things along the way that we didn't even know we were picking up. We just kind of pick up a way of life and some habits because of what's been modeled to us or our experience. Or sometimes things we don't want to duplicate, and so we come up with our own way. And then God's Word at some point in our life we start to understand some of it, and it comes into our life, and it conflicts with some of the things that we've said or done or how we do things. And of course, it's a very humble thing to say, I have been wrong. It's a humble thing to admit that. Just in and of ourselves, but also other people have watched us, right? And to go back and say, you know, I was wrong, or I didn't deal with that so great. The other part is, what's hard to deal with when we are confronted with His Word, in we start to understand a greater truth as it unveils itself in our life in a moment or through time, is not just that we've been wrong, but what about those in our life who said they believed this and modeled it wrong or explained this wrong? And we love some of those people. They could be our parents. They could be a teacher. They could be a great friend. They could be a relative. They could be a pastor or a priest. And it's hard to go back and say, well, people have been believing this way mostly for a long time, but now there's this greater understanding beyond what I've been told. It's a hard thing to come to grips with the people who you've maybe appreciated and love and discover, gee, they didn't give me the purest counsel. They didn't explain this quite the way I'm growing to understand as the Lord's teaching me. And that's a hard place for all of us. Okay? I've had to work through some of that in my own life. Okay? So I'm acquainted with it. I get it. I'm still learning as I read and pray and He teaches me. And, you know, I'm still learning. I want you to know there are some things somewhere along the trail of my past where it wasn't completely accurate. Okay? We're doing better. I hope I'm doing better. Right? There are some things that I feel I know better, some things that I've abandoned that I feel like He's brought me into, and not out of convenience by any means, or changing something to fit my preference or, you know, make it easier for me to swallow. We're supposed to be changed by this. We're not supposed to change this to fit us and suit us. This comes fitted. This has already been tailored for us. You don't take this to your own little personal tailor and have them adjust it to fit the way that we already exist. Okay? So turn to a couple people around you and say, okay, that was really, really good. And I'm not taking credit for that. I can't take credit for it for this reason. It's His words. It's His thought. It's His ways. So I can't take credit for it. And I don't. That doesn't bother me, because only He's really good. Only He is good. So I want you to listen to this. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16, the part of that verse says, do not test the Lord your God. Amen. Do not test Him. We are called through faith to trust Him because He's trustworthy. We're called to trust Him. We're called to obey Him. That trust and obedience, remember, is birthed in His heart, His very nature, so that you and I are protected and cared for, and our relationship with Him is good, even when things in this life get difficult that we don't understand, to trust and obey, not let any circumstance cause me to compromise this in my life. We're all still being perfected in that. Our faith is tested. Our obedience is tested. But we're called to trust and obey Him. Do not test the Lord your God. You know, Jesus, after He was baptized, He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, it says, Matthew chapter 4. And He is led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. 40 days, 40 nights. And you can read about it. I'm going to just pluck a piece of it out that pertains to this morning. And Satan leads Him to a few places. We see it recorded. One of the places that he leads Jesus is into the city, to the pinnacle of the temple. And Satan says to Him, if You are really the Son of God, throw Yourself down, because the Scripture says that His angels will keep watch over you, and they will be commanded to do so, so that you are lifted up, you have been bared by their burden to protect you, and you will not, so that you will not stumble or hit your foot against a stone. Now that's the Scripture. And Jesus replies and says, it is also written, do not tempt or test the Lord your God. You see how we can twist Scripture to misuse it. Jesus, jump. This is God's word. Jump. And of course, the enemy is using it and twisting it for evil. Good thing that Jesus knows the word. It is also written, do not test the Lord your God. I want you to be careful when you look at two verses or more in this Scripture and you think, oh, they kind of contradict each other. Oh, they're not working in harmony. Is this really the Word of God? Well, make sure you first understand it, and that we are not deceiving ourselves by the use of some Scripture so that we can either try to have it fit us or make us look smart. It's the full counsel of God. Satan quotes Scripture, but Jesus says that it's also written. Make sure the purity of the Word. We can only do that through reading, through studying, being a good student. Study to show thyself approved as a good workman, right? A good follower. His Word is so important. So, do not test the Lord your God. Can we test the Lord anywhere? Is there some exception? Yes, there is. He invites us to test him in one area. One area only. You find it in Malachi chapter 3. And I'm going to turn there. I want you to listen to this. Some of you might be hearing it the first time. Some, maybe you've heard it, read it, heard sermons on it. I want you to kind of hear it, maybe for the first time, so to speak. For I, the Lord, do not change. Amen. He does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, tomorrow's. Yes. O children of Jacob, therefore you children of Jacob are not consumed. You are not consumed because God does not change in who he is, in his character and virtue. From the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes. You've turned away from my way, my instruction. You have not kept my command. And then he says, return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. And now he speaks on he speaks what they have been saying because he's aware. This is what happens now. But you say, how shall we return to you, Lord? And God responds and says, will man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In your tithes and offerings or contributions. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full, say full. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open, put me to the test. See if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil and your vine in the field. It shall not fail. It will not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. Then all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. And he continues to go on. The storehouse. Full tithe into the storehouse. So the storehouse, if you're looking for a little help with definition on this and what does that mean, it was the temple treasury. It is where offerings and tithes were brought in that were stored in a treasury, and the disbursement of that, those resources were to take care of the Levites, the priest. It was to take care of the poor. It was to take care of the needs in the temple. It was to help with putting on ministry services. And it was also a help for ministry that happened outside the walls of the temple. That's what it was used for. Today is basically 19 years of Sundays that I have been pastoring this church. You're kind. You are, to allow me to be in one place for 19 years with you. I am very grateful. But that wasn't the point. In 19 years of pastoring this church, I have taught and preached on tithing money one time. In some books, that would be shameful. Now, have I alluded to it and giving and all of that throughout times here and there in sermons or whatever? Of course. I want to tell you that I don't shy away from it because I'm afraid to address it. It's His Word. But I will tell you that I don't talk a lot about money. And those who've been here for years, you know that I don't talk a lot about money. Unless it's for missions or a project or something like that, that we just, you know, that money, all that money goes out. None of it stays here to do what the storehouse is meant to do. It all goes out. And I'll tell you one big reason why I don't talk about money in light of giving is because there's been such abuse of it, at least in our part of the world. And because some people, use that as their excuse. It's where they hang their hat to say, that is why I don't go to church. All they do is talk about money, and they just want your money. Well, we've seen it in all different ways. If you send $100, I will pray for you. I'm not here to throw stones at anybody else. I'm just telling you that that is not what happens here. We count it a privilege to pray and to partner with people who are hurting, whether they are strangers calling in or you stopping by or making your request known. I want you to hear this morning. This is not a message because our finances are down or our finances are up or we have the dream to have the biggest bank account. You got to understand something. When Jesus comes, the church with the biggest bank account does not win. This is not a plea for your money. I want you to know that. I've proven it. In 19 years, I've preached once on tithing. Here's the thing. We have a misconception about this chapter and others that talk about tithing. It's not about your money. It's not about your money. Amen. It's not about my money. The money is in the story, and so it gets our attention, right? Because money is the object in it, but it is not the objective. We all know that it takes pretty much some type of resource or money to do anything in this life. They knew it in the Old Testament. They knew it in the New Testament. When it came to the temple or ministry or the church, takes funds to do it. But that's not what this is about. This is about the tithe, the 10% of our income that we give to the storehouse. It's giving it to God, but we give it to the storehouse. See, my storehouse is not this house. Now, I give money to and through this and different things and missions, but my tithe, my storehouse, is our district office. Every credentialed pastor, every pastor, this is where we give our tithe to, so that they can function and do great things and ministry and all of that. I give unto the Lord, but I give it to a different storehouse because that's my responsibility and that is my obligation. That is my worship to the Lord. It's not about money. It's about worshiping the Lord. It's about obeying His instructions, His command. And here's the thing. God is not after your money because He owns everything. Amen. I'll tell you what He's after. He's after your heart. He's not after your car or after your boat or after your house or after your money or after your, whatever you want to put. He's after your heart. Because when He has our heart, He has our time, He has our responsibility, He has the way we choose to do things or not do things. He has our heart. When He has our heart, it also controls what comes out of our mouth. What did Jesus say? Every evil thing and all the sexual immorality and everything else comes from the evil within ourselves, within our heart. If He has our heart, it changes our words, it changes our attitude, it changes what we do and how we look at money and resource and time and family, relationships, all the things that affect this life. God is after your heart. He's not after your checkbook or your debit card or your crypto or whatever, okay? He's after your heart. I get to express my love for Him through obedience to Him. That's how I get to express my love to Him. I can share affectionate things. I can share really nice, sweet words with Him. I can do all of that. And it's part of my worship and expression to Him. But it's how we live our life. If you come and worship the Lord at the front or here and raise your hands and kneel down and shed a tear and are moved on in your heart, but you go out of here and you're mean, your worship didn't count. Your worship is when we also walk out the door. Because He wants your heart. But we get to express that through all means in our life. I want you to listen to this. In Matthew 22, 37, it says, love the Lord your God with all of your heart. And it goes on, it says a few other things, mind, soul, spirit. But with our heart. Okay? Matthew 6, 21. Where your treasure is, what you treasure most, is where your heart is. See? You know these scriptures. Continue on in Matthew chapter 6, a few verses later, he says, no person can serve two masters. They will love the one and hate the other. Man cannot serve two masters. He will love one or hate the other. He cannot serve God and money. There's a lot of scriptures about this. I know you're probably thinking of some of them, but and that's good, but you're not the one preaching today, so I'm going to maybe miss your verses. John 14, verse 21, Jesus speaking, He says, the person who loves Me obeys Me. You can't fool Me with lip service, He's saying. It's the one who walks out and obeys Me. Who obeys? We're all still in the process of growing. Hopefully we've all gained some ground, right? Dying to ourself, battling through. He who loves us makes us more than a conqueror in the struggle and the testing of our faith, right? But when it comes to the tithe, he says, test me. You can test me in this one thing. Don't test the Lord your God. But in this one thing, God speaks up and says, you can test me. That doesn't mean it won't be hard, it won't be challenging. But he says, test me in this. See if I don't pour out. Now I want you to be careful here because, okay, I'm going to tithe next Sunday from this last pay period. I'm going to tithe. And then come Monday, you're going, why am I getting all these bills? Why did the plumbing break? I got to buy a new mower. Ah! Right? Don't think for a moment that your heart and your faith isn't going to be tested. Just like anything else in life. I forgave them. Then they went and did this again against me. Oh, why did I forget? It doesn't matter. Because, see, this is about God having our hearts and us becoming like Him and following Him. This is about a spiritual relationship that plays out and is proved by everything that is practical on this level, this human horizontal level, from this spiritual and vertical relationship with Him, including tithing, giving, contribution. I know some who say, oh, I give my tithe, but I give it over here, and I give it over there, and I give it here, and I'm so thankful for their generosity. And you know what? But they aren't bringing it into a storehouse. We can give above and beyond our tithe. Generosity, handing somebody some money, giving to a cause, missions, whatever it is. And listen, if you go to a different church and you visit from here time to time, you can come as often as you want, but you tithe at your home church. You want to donate something here above your tithe? That's your business. That's between you and the Lord. And the tithe is between you and the Lord, but He's given us instruction. You better bring it into a storehouse somewhere. You don't get to choose and say, this is my money, I'll give it away how I want. This is His word. And you and I need to give way to Him in every area of our life. I have love. I love those people. That person I hate, I'm sorry, you don't get to choose that. You can come up with anything you want. He is going to be worshipped the way that He desires to be worshipped. I don't get to worship Him the way I think is best. You can tell that to the priest who touched the Ark of the Covenant. Because they were moving the presence of God wrong. And they fell dead. And they said, oop, wait, hold it, stop. And then they went and studied. And found out how to move the Ark of the Covenant to bring it back to its home. They had a great motive. Bring back the ark. But you better do it in the prescribed manner. You and I just don't get to eat the bread and drink the cup any way we want. We eat the bread and drink the cup according to the teaching of Scripture. You can go throughout all of it. It's about trusting and obeying. Our intent can be good, but the practice also needs to be right. Here's a question for you, based on these scriptures. Do you love money more than God? You didn't have to answer out loud, but we'll take that. I think if we were to really have everybody pool this, you would look at it as a yes and no, but I think there would be a lot of sometimes. Sometimes. It doesn't mean that you can't buy a nice car and buy a nice home or spend some money on yourself. But He wants your heart, and it's expressed in how we live and how we obey and how we trust, and that we can test Him in this one thing. How kind of Him, when He is one who should not be tested in any way, shape, or form, and He says, you know what? You can test me in this. You can test me in this. I want you to check this out. It's in Matthew 23, and you can go back and get these scriptures or listen when this is up on the website or whatever you want to do. But I want you to listen to this because, you know, there is this thing that goes around that says tithing was the Old Testament practice. Jesus came, it's the New Testament. As if we don't have to fulfill any of the laws of God. Now, there is a bunch of man-made laws that we're putting in place to try to help people. And out of it, it was too much to bear. And Jesus came and fulfilled the law that we would be forgiven. But Paul writes, the scripture says, that we are now to follow the way of Jesus, right, and fulfill the commands. It doesn't mean that I've got God's grace, I've got His forgiveness, and I can just live however I want now. I'm in the New Testament. Jesus said, those who love me, obey me. And in that obedience is our freedom. There's great protection, great freedom. Listen to this, in Matthew 23, Jesus is speaking, and He says, woe to you scribes and Pharisees. Now, scribes were the attorneys at law concerning the commands and the laws of God. And Pharisees, religious leaders. Jesus says, you hypocrites. Now watch this. For you tithe mint. You know what mint is? It's a leaf. My wife's going, yes, I know what mint is. I can't wait to plant it. Listen, He says to these leaders, you tithe mint. In other words, they get all their mint together and they just, and you'll find it, they're weighing it out. It's like a bunch of women going to lunch together. Not all women, but some, you know, they get together, have a lunch, they, you know, one bill, they forget to ask for separate bills, or even if they get separate bills, they're taking out their bills, they're getting the exact change. They're hiding their calculator to find out what the tip should be. That's a generality. You get a bunch of men together and the bill starts falling on the table. They just, mine was like 12, so here's a 20. Here's a 20, here's a 50. Now, not all guys are like that. Some are like women. Please, don't split hairs here. I'm just here. Here's more than enough. Here's my meal and my tip, whatever. Yeah. Take it. Get it away from me. Right? I want to bless the server. I'm not trying to be harsh here, but I want to say something to you as believers. If you can't afford the tip, do not go out to eat. Amen. Unless you're going to McDonald's or, you know, whatever, you know, where they don't have tips that I know of. I don't generally go inside. I do a drive-through at best. Anyhow, listen to this. He says, you tithe mint. You tithe your dill. You know what that is? It's that thing that looks like a weed, but it tastes like, I don't know, dill. You sprinkle it in stuff or put it in when you can pickles or jar pickles or put them in a jar and steam, whatever you do. Okay? They're tithing this. They're being very careful. They don't want to offend God. They tithe their cumin. Do you know what cumin is? I don't either. Okay. My wife will tell me all about it when I get home because she knows all this stuff. And I'm glad. He says, you tithe all of this. You weigh it out and you get your exact 10%. And Jesus says, but you've neglected the weightier matters of the law. Like justice and mercy and faithfulness. See, what's the point in tithing if you're going to go out and be less than gracious, not good to people, mean, selfish? Oh, but I tithe. God wants your heart. He wants all of us. Okay? Now watch what he says. For those of you who, you know, do the whole, well, New Testament, I don't need to tithe, and, you know, the church has money. And listen, it's not about whether the church has no money or has money. This is about worshiping the Lord. This is about bringing the tithe to Him that He calls for. It's my worship to Him. It's my submission to Him. It's me saying, Lord, I love You more than even money. I love You more than going and buying this that I can't afford. So I rob from You so I can get this. How do you rob from me? You don't bring me the tithe. You don't bring your tithe into the storehouse. That's how you're robbing from me. Think about this for a moment. Robbing, stealing from God. So he says this. You tithe these little things. You neglect the weightier matters. These are the things that you should be doing. The justice, the mercy, the faithfulness, all the lists of the character of God. He says, these are the things that you ought to have done without neglecting the former things I talked about, the mint, the dill, the resources, whatever it is that you take in or that you sell. He says, listen, you be full of grace, you be just, you be faithful, you be kind, you be loving, you be all of these things without neglecting the former thing of tithing. I'm in the New Testament. You hear this. I give an account for your spiritual well-being. I give an account for that. You have to give an account for your own life, but I haven't, as the pastor, as a shepherd, it just came with the package. This is what I do. I give an account for you. That's why I'm judged more strictly than you. Doesn't make me better than you, and not at all. We all stand on level ground here. But we have responsibilities in our life and in the ministry and how we live our lives. You see, this is about spiritual rightness with the Lord. That's what I want you to have. It's not about you writing a check to New Life as you tithe and we get to count the money. And when I say we, it's not me. You can ask the board. You can go ask Marlene. You can ask Kathy. These are the people who handle finances, record them over time since I've been here. I don't mess with it. I don't count it. I don't touch it. Oh, when somebody hands me an envelope and says, could you get this into the ushers? Yeah, I take that. Some people have handed me a check or cash, and you know what? I put it right in an envelope, we fill it out, and it goes in. That money belongs to him and the ministry that he deems necessary. Those of you who don't know me, and if you're guests this morning, you're saying, see, went to church, and sure enough, they talked about money. Well, you should have been here the last 19 years. Where were you? Listen, I want you to hear this loud and clear. Honor the Lord. Let him have your heart. Honor him with everything in your life. Obey and trust him. It will be challenging. You'll want to do something different than what the Scripture says. We all go through it. Listen, still in my own life, something will come up and my mind will go, hey, what if? And then I go, shut up. God, forgive me. I'm doing what your word says. And we grow in that and we develop that because we love him more. Kathy, you're here. Am I lying to the people? I don't know if you could hear that on the recording, but she said,
absolutely not.
I'm going to close with this. Be the character of God. Don't neglect the tithing. It has everything to do with your spiritual relationship with him. Listen to this. This is the closing part. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 refers to this phrase, this little phrase in there. It says, be a cheerful giver. I will confess to you, there have been times, many times throughout my life, that I did not give my tithe joyfully. Pastor, I have to go to a different church. My flesh, you know, I still did it. It's my obligation. It's my responsibility. Right? Say right.
Right.
But here's the point. He says, be a cheerful giver. Let me put it to you this way. A man goes out and golfs with some friends. The golf is over. You can plug in whatever you want. He goes out with his buddies and whatever. They went shopping for their wives. Nah. They probably should. Anyhow, he goes out, and you can reverse this. The women go out with some other women, and they go do whatever it is they do. And when the event is over, when the golf is over, the married men have an obligation and a responsibility to go home to their wives, children who live in the house if they still have them in their house. They have an obligation, responsibility to go home. Here's the difference. That's an obligation, responsibility, just like tithing. But wouldn't it be nice that when the event or the golf is over, that the man has the desire to go home? That the wife, when the event's over, she has the desire to go home. To go home. And be with her husband, for him to go home, be with his wife or their children. Not go home and say, oh, I wish we were still golfing. Oh, do I have to do any errands? Could I take the long way home? Oh, I'm going home out of sheer responsibility, sheer obligation. There's no joy in it. You see, Jesus came and said, fulfill the responsibility and the obligation, but do it with desire. Do it with joy. Do it with good cheer. I'm coming home. Want to come home. Because my wife is going to be pleasant. Where's the amen?
Amen?
She may have had some challenges, but before she gets to her list, she's going to come and say, I'm so glad you're home. How was golf? Oh, you didn't play so well. Stand up. Stand up. Oh, you didn't play so well. It's okay. Bring your sorrows to mama. I know, I'm out of my mind, right? She comes home with some bags. The first thing should not be, how much did you spend? Did you have fun, baby? Good. Let me take those bags out of your hands. Because the kids are yours now. Listen, there's a difference in our obligation. This is the New Testament, the Spirit of Jesus. It's this. With your obligations, with your responsibility that we have in our faith, no matter what that is, according to His Word, I want to move to a place where I get to do it cheerfully. I do it with joy. And it might sting, but you know what? Lord, I love you. I'm doing my best with the Holy Spirit's help to obey you fully. I know I still need work, but right now in this moment and today, God, I love you. And here is my offering. Here is my heart. Here I am, Lord. I am yours. You bought me with a price. Stand to your feet, please, all over this room. Don't you worry about today and your yesterdays where you have robbed from God. Forgive me. Now help me. I wanna love you more. Excuse me. Lord, I haven't been real good with my countenance, my attitude. Forgive me. Help me, Lord. Help me overcome my way. Help me overcome my natural, you know, tendency or instinct, or whatever you want to call it, Lord, that it is not you. Help me from this day forward. I can trust and obey you. I've been hurt, been taken advantage of. Lord, I love you. You know all my wounds. So I have a license now to do less than what your word says, right? Thank you, Jesus, because you understand. That is complete. I've been here 19 years, you'll forgive me. That's complete bull. I stopped short. I didn't say the whole word. If your children were in here, they were like, what does that mean? You can tell them when they're 18 or 21 or whatever. Listen, that's baloney. He understands us, but he wants to move us along to fulfill, right? Right? It's like saying, oh, I've been hurt so deeply and this person did this. You know why I can't really forgive. No, it's a process. But we got to start coming, and he's got to have all of us. Because he wants your heart. Because you matter to him. And on that day, he wants you there. Say it with me. This sermon.
This sermon.
Today. Well, let's start over. This great sermon. No, I'm kidding you.
This sermon.
Today. Was for me. and it wasn't about money. I can't tell you the number of people who come to me over time that say, you know, I wanted to give in the offering. Did I miss it? I said, no. Ushers are near the doors and have baskets. Oh, the ushers left. I said, if it's something you want to do, we put an envelope or you hand me the envelope. We'll get it in there. If it was about money, I would be telling you every week where the ushers are. Now, the occasional weeks where I do, I mean, it is a responsibility to communicate. Ushers are at the door, they have to ask. I've had people try to remind me, don't forget to tell the people who are not here, but they're watching online, they're live streaming, that they can give online. Oh, yeah, I got to remind them that that's possible. And it's not that they're after the money. It's about spiritual health. But if it was just about the money to me, I would be taking up offerings, and the taking up of the offering would be as long as the sermon. I got to do better at communicating with people where you give and how you give online. It's there. I just want you to know this is not about money. This is about spiritual health in all of our lives, that He's our Lord. We love Him most. Okay? So, get a fresh start and test the Lord in only this one thing. He said He'll open heaven and pour on you. I'm not manipulating by saying, if you just give, if you just tithe, God's going to just pour out right away. You're going to get everything you want. That's not it. That's not His word. Lord, I shouldn't be asking what You can do for me. We're called to pray. I should be asking, what can I do for You?
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.